In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's Mass, as in most of the Masses, the Sunday Masses of Lent, you will notice that the deacon and the subdeacon are wearing what are known as folded chasubles instead of a customary dalmatic and tunicle. The use of these vestments dates back to the earliest years of the Church, when all the clergy wore the chasuble. The chasuble was a round garment with a hole in its center to pass the head through, and it covered the upper body down to the knees. It was originally a civil garment used by the Etruscans, and in the first century of our era, it became widespread in the Roman Empire, to the point that it became an elegant article of clothing in common use. The chasuble then tended to replace the old toga, which was too heavy and less practical, and Roman orators began to wear the chasuble when pleading cases in the law courts in order to have more freedom for oratorical gestures. Under the Emperor Trajan, the tribunes of the people wore chasubles, and Commodus ordered that those assisting public spectacles should do so in a chasuble and no longer in a toga. And the chasuble became the garment of the senators in 382. Christians also naturally used this garment, as the chasuble became a vestment of honor for the high officers of the empire. So Christians sought to give their own tribunes and senators, that is, priests, bishops, and deacons, a similar mark of distinction. In Christian writings, the first mention of the chasuble as a properly liturgical vestment is relatively late. It is found in the second of two letters written by Saint Germain of Paris, which contains a famous description of the Mass according to the ancient Gallican rite. The chasuble, which is known as the amphipolis, and which the priest wears, so shows the original unity of all that was instituted by Moses, the lawgiver. Now the Lord commanded that diverse vestments be made, so that the people might not wear what the priest wears. Hence it has no sleeves, since the priest's duty is to bless rather than to minister. And from the start it has been of one piece, and not split or opened, since many are the hidden mysteries of Holy Scripture, which the learned priest must conceal under a seal, as it were, to preserve the unity of the faith and not to fall into heresy or schism. Nevertheless, well before this first mention, numerous frescoes, mosaics, and miniatures from the 4th century onward show beyond doubt that the chasuble was largely adopted during this era as a liturgical vestment in the East as well as in the West. And at this time, the chasuble was the general vestment of all the clergy, not only that of bishops and priests, but also of deacons, subdeacons, and according to Alcuin, in certain circumstances, even of acolytes. Amelarius of Metz tells us that the chasuble was still worn in his time by all clerics without distinction. He calls it the common vestment of sacred ministers, and it was still employed by acolytes in certain regions into the 11th century. For the celebrating bishop or priest, this vestment did not create any discomfort in carrying out their sacred ceremonies. But the ministers, the deacons and subdeacons, had to adapt to the chasuble for their own liturgical purposes. They rolled back the front part of the vestment so that their arms would be free to handle the sacred vessels, and thus they were dubbed folded chasubles. From the singing of the gospel until the end of the Mass, the deacon, in order to be freer in his movements, rolled up the chasuble and slung it across his shoulders over his stole. The celebrant's chasuble did not need to be folded, precisely because the deacon and subdeacon would help him by lifting up its edges at certain times during the incensations and at the elevations. This beautiful gesture was faithfully kept by the Roman liturgy, even when it ceased to be necessary after the celebrant's chasubles began to be clipped and reduced in shape. In fact, the folded chasubles worn by deacons and subdeacons were a clear symbol of their proper function as sacred ministers, i.e., of their role as servants of the celebrant. Deacons and subdeacons' folded chasubles were later replaced, beginning in the 5th century, by two new vestments, the dalmatic and the tunicle, vestments endowed with shorter sleeves that made it more manageable for them to carry out their liturgical and ministerial functions. Rome took a long time to adapt this novelty, and descriptions of the Roman liturgy at the time of St. Gregory the Great still name the chasuble as the vestment worn by the Pope, the deacons, and the subdeacons. When Rome finally accepted the use of dalmatics and tunicles, she nevertheless kept the use of folded chasubles for the deacon and subdeacon during Lent and penitential seasons, following the generally accepted liturgical principle that the seasons considered the most holy are also those that are spared from liturgical innovations. Furthermore, the dalmatic and tunicle are sumptuous vestments that symbolize joy and innocence. For a long time, their color had to be white, and ancient dalmatics were also adorned with two bright purple vertical bands, like those that adorned the senatorial togas. During the ordination of a deacon, the bishop imposed the dalmatic upon him with these words, "May the Lord attire thee in the garment of salvation and the vestment of joy, and ever surround thee with the dalmatic of justice." The equivalent prayer for clothing the subdeacon with the tunicle also speaks of a vestment of joy. The use of a dalmatic and tunicle was consequently entirely inappropriate for penitential seasons, during which the use of the old folded chasuble was carefully preserved. Folded chasubles were therefore used in the Roman liturgy during penitential seasons. The exact extent of these seasons is complicated, but generally they would be worn in Advent and Lent, except on Gaudete and Laetare Sundays. However, smaller churches seem to have been dispensed from using folded chasubles because it was difficult to have three perfectly matching chasubles, two of which were folded. For the ministers to assist the celebrant, it suffices that the front of their chasubles be folded, but when the deacon or subdeacon must carry out those tasks proper to their office, they must entirely remove the vestment or fold it still further. Thus, the subdeacon takes off his folded chasuble before singing the epistle and puts it on again immediately afterwards. The proper office of a deacon begins with the singing of the gospel and continues until the end of communion. During this time, he does not remove his folded chasuble entirely, but wears it folded and strung over his left shoulder, attached under the right arm with thin cords, or even by making a knot over his stole. And after communion, he unrolls the fabric and wears his chasuble folded as before. To simplify this procedure, the custom arose of folding another chasuble in advance, which the deacon would put over his shoulder at the appropriate time. And later on, this folded chasuble was often replaced by a simple band of the same fabric, commonly called a broad stole. You can see Deacon Nestor is wearing that broad stole today. During pontifical masses, the assistant deacons put on their garments, namely a chasuble folded in front over a cotta or rochet, toward the end of terce, before the bishop sings the collect. And the use of actually folding the front part of a chasuble and keeping it folded with hooks or cords has persisted to this day. A folded chasuble is therefore exactly what its name suggests. A chasuble like any other, worn with the front part folded from within up to the level of the elbows and often held in place by two steel clips. Nevertheless, over the centuries, as chasubles for celebrants became clipped on the edges for the sake of convenience, the folds of the chasubles for deacons and subdeacons became definitely stitched up, and finally the excess fabric was entirely cut off, so that therefore one might speak of cut chasubles, but the term folded chasubles has remained in common use. By the early 20th century, the use of folded chasubles had largely disappeared in France and Germany, but their use persisted in Italy, in the Iberian Peninsula, and in the British Isles and in Anglo-Catholic communities. They were entirely banned from Holy Week with the 1955 reforms, and violet and black dalmatics and tunicles put in their place. Folded chasubles were still to be used during the rest of Lent and other penitential seasons. This anomaly ceased with the publication of the new Code of Rubrics in 1960, which stated that folded chasubles and broad stoles are no longer used. The liturgical reformers' efforts to suppress folded chasubles give rise to a larger question that naturally emerges when one studies the liturgical reforms of 1951 through 1969. These reforms were presented to the faithful at that time as a welcome return to the liturgy of ancient Christianity, finally purified from the dross of the High Middle Ages and the Baroque era. But if that is the case, how are we to explain the contemptuous suppression of the folded chasuble, a truly ancient element of the Roman Rite, and a precious custom that unites us to the prayer and practice of our forefathers in the faith, going back to the earliest centuries? Alas, this particular example is far from unique, and it only highlights the abandonment of numerous ancient elements in favor of the purely imaginative constructs that took place during those liturgical reforms. More globally, one might ask about the nature of the liturgical reforms of 1951 to 1969. Do they constitute a continuous organic development of the liturgy of the church, or a radical rupture with the centuries-old practice of the Roman Rite? It is interesting to consider how, in different parts of the world, traditional communities are once again starting to take up the use of folded chasubles. It may well be that these communities perceive that folded chasubles form part of the symbolic richness that our liturgical tradition has bequeathed to us, and that we have been unjustly deprived of the spiritual beauty and benefits of that tradition. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.